Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, while Ukraine's President Zelensky met with European foreign ministers yesterday, the conversation continued in the United States Oval Office about how to deal with the war in Ukraine. When asked about what one reporter described as Zelensky's inevitable return to the White House, this is what the American President Donald Trump had to say.
Well, I think what's going to happen is Ukraine wants to make a deal because I don't think they have a choice. I also think that Russia wants to make a deal because in a certain different way, a different way that only I know, they have no choice either.
Interesting and intriguing. Well, Simon Marks is with us, chief correspondent of Feature Story News. So, Simon, what was the president talking about there? Do we have any idea why President Trump believes Russia doesn't have a choice but to end the war?
Well, Claire, as you heard, only he knows. I mean, we can surmise, right? We can surmise that Donald Trump believes that Vladimir Putin wants to end the war in Ukraine in order to not only sort of stop the bloodshed for obvious reasons, but also to find himself back in at least America's better graces. I mean, everything that we have heard from Donald Trump over the course of the last week, and it's hard to believe it's only been a week since the public dressing down, the drubbing of Volodymyr Zelensky in the Oval Office by the president, ably assisted by his vice president, J.D. Vance. Everything that we have heard in the intervening week is the president of the United States parroting Russia's angles, Russia's lines, Russia's requirements for peace, and continuing essentially to negotiate without getting any concessions from the Russians whatsoever in return. He's already spoken about there being no NATO membership for Ukraine arising out of peace talks, about the possibility of Russia even returning to a seat at the table at the G7, of the need for Ukraine to cede territory to Russia. But his negotiators, including National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, have also in the past hinted, after that meeting in Riyadh with Russian officials, at the possibility of geopolitical and economic partnership between the United States and Russia. And if you think that Donald Trump is enthused about the possibility of turning the Gaza Strip into the Riviera of the Middle East, wait until he sees the Crimean Peninsula, because that really is the most stunning piece of coastline real estate that might ever come available on the international market to a construction magnate, which, of course, is what Donald Trump is and speaks that language. Even when he's talking about deals, it's always a deal about money. It's a deal about securing access to Ukraine's rare earths, securing access, he hopes, to Russia's rare earths, and possibly engaging in business acquisition and development inside Russia itself. Now, of course, the president's language there in the Oval Office also fed the narrative that the Russians have got something on Donald Trump, because we still don't fully understand the nature of the relationship between the American president and the Russian leader, and we may never fully understand that relationship, but there is no doubt that those comments underscored the notion that President Trump is warming the relationship with Vladimir Putin and Moscow at the risk of chilling the relationship, obviously, with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, but also Europe as well.
It's an extraordinary about-turn in international relations and geopolitics. And I see this morning there is a poll in Ukraine which shows that President Zelensky's approval rating has gone from 57% before of all of this happened to 67% now. And he is going to Saudi, we know that, to have that meeting with the officials from the United States to discuss whatever this peace deal might look like. But is Donald Trump right now, because on Ukraine and their limited options, the fact that he says they have no choice, and have they no choice because of the decisions that he has made on military aid and intelligence?
Yeah, of course, that plays into it without question. I mean, he has largely already negotiated parts of Ukraine's sovereignty away before there's been a single conversation between the Russians and the Ukrainians, and of course before the Europeans have been given a seat around the table either. The suspension of military assistance to Ukraine is potentially a crushing blow for Kyiv. Hundreds of millions of dollars that were on of aid that was on its way to Ukraine, at least temporarily suspended. We still don't quite know whether that suspension is going to be lifted or not. It's opaque, the bar that Ukraine has to reach, simply showing a commitment to peace, apparently, although what that commitment needs to look like to satisfy President Trump is unclear. Also, the suspension of intelligence sharing between the United States and Ukraine strips Kyiv's armed forces of a massive advantage on the battlefield over Russia. I mean, President Trump is demonstrating a desire to inveigh Ukraine to the table, force them to make an agreement with Russia that grants Russia permanent access to places like permanent ownership to places like the Crimean Peninsula and quite possibly large chunks of eastern Ukraine as well. But critical to all of this is still the minerals deal that has not yet been signed between the Ukrainian president and the Americans. And Volodymyr Zelensky's position a week ago, which of course kicked off the huge bust-up in the White House, is that Ukraine needs robust American security guarantees written into every document pertaining to the outcome of this conflict, including the minerals deal. Mm-hmm. And it's still unclear, as we head into that meeting in Riyadh between the Ukrainian leader and a US delegation, whether there are security guarantees now contained in that agreement and whether they meet the standards set by Ukraine and by the British, French Prime Ministers and others as being robust and serious efforts by the United States to provide any long-term agreement in Ukraine with what British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer refers to as an American backstop. Donald Trump has dissembled on that constantly.
And of course, the EU won't have a seat at the table at those talks next week. And Donald Trump is pretty much adamant about that, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, he has spoken in scatological terms at the White House over the last few days about the European Union, saying that it was originally conceived and created in order to mess with the United States. And he currently sees himself and the United States as the sole negotiator of this peace, sitting between the Ukrainians and the Russians. The difficulty, of course, with that is that the Ukrainians absolutely don't view him as an honest broker. The Europeans are now reaching the realization that they can't view the United States as an honest broker because Donald Trump has already given so much away to the Russians. The president insists he's simply standing in the middle between Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky. But Zelensky, in that White House meeting a week ago, pushed Donald Trump to say whether he was still a supporter of Ukraine or whether he had simply moved into Russia's corner. That stuck in Donald Trump's craw, and he said, no, I want to be in the middle between the two of you. But there's certainly no European government, possibly with the exception of Hungary, that thinks that Donald Trump can possibly adopt that position successfully, which is why the European Union wants a seat at the table to back up Zelensky, and why we've heard, I think, all of these rumours that at some point, if Zelensky does return here to Washington, it will be in the company of French President Emmanuel Macron, maybe other European leaders, in a bid, you know, to sort of underscore the fact that they've got his back.
Well, listen, we might get some respite now from this unrelenting Trump news over the coming days, because he always heads off to Mar-a-Lago, doesn't he, in the coming hours on a Friday?
Yes, but the worst thing about that, Trump, about that, Claire, is that once Donald Trump gets to Mar-a-Lago, he still has access to his social media account on Truth Social. And before we get to the moment where he actually departs Washington, D.C.'s airspace, he has more executive orders to sign this afternoon. And these daily signings of executive orders, and that's the only way he's currently governing. He hasn't sent a single bill to Congress to start work on. I mean, this is a flurry of executive activity that continues on a daily basis. It's during the signing of those executive orders in the Oval Office that he holds court with the press and once again can say absolutely anything. So whether it's a quiet weekend or not will depend largely on what he has to say. I think it's at 2:30 this afternoon here, 7:30 in the evening, Dublin time, to the press when he starts flourishing that executive pen again.
Simon, that's our new Friday night viewing sorted out. Thank you very much for being with us as always. Simon Marks there, chief correspondent with Feature Story News. Now, heels, runners or a round toe boot, what shoe goes with what jeans or trousers? It's a very important question, and Aoife Dunican, style expert, will be with us with all of the answers. Plus, how should Micheál Martin deal with President Trump? The Gathering will be with us a little bit later on.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.